Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Good evening, Pastor May. It's 5:30. Update for Monday, 9th of March 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the island, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Has Jersey stolen a march on the Isle of Man post Flybe? The latest on coronavirus, still no cases here. What now for the Manx patient transfer service? Financial markets under the cosh from coronavirus. Will anyone take the Ballasalla post office business? And what is blockchain? And how is it going to change your life? Part one, it's another flume. A free week at the NSC, by the way. Now time.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
At 29 minutes to 6 for the update news headlines, Pastor May, Lewis Foster.
Pastor May, there have now been 19 concluded tests for coronavirus on the Isle of Man, but still zero confirmed cases. Public Health Isle of Man issued its latest daily update earlier this afternoon. In a post on social media, it said the testing is undertaken in specialist UK laboratories and the increase in demand has increased the time it takes to receive confirmed results from the standard 48 hours. If you're seeking more advice and information, you're asked to visit gov.im/coronavirus, which continues to be updated as more information becomes available. The collapse of Flybe is the subject of 5 emergency questions at this week's sitting of the House of Keys. The questions range from how much money the airline owes the Isle of Man government, the impact on patient transfer service, what support is on offer to former Flybe employees, and details about the Flybe pension scheme. In international news, Boris Johnson says it's probable the UK will soon move to the next phase of its plan to battle coronavirus, and the government's making extensive preparations. A 4th person has died after contracting COVID-19, with Public Health England saying the patient was in her 70s and had underlying health issues. Meanwhile, London's stock markets endured its worst day since the 2008 financial crisis. Coronavirus fears and a falling oil price caused the FTSE 100 to fall 7.7%. Manx Radio News at 5:30. Our next will be a roundup at 6.
Man Benham Advocates. Like everything comforting, we're there when you need us. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Garamaya, thank you, Lewis. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there's a gale warning in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours on the Isle of Man tonight. Patchy light rain, some more heavy stuff into the early hours of tomorrow. All on the strong southwesterly, down to 6 degrees. There is a yellow warning for coastal overtopping from 10 o'clock tonight till about 1 o'clock in the morning. That strong south westerly will cause some overtopping onto Castletown Promenade, parts of Shore Road in Rushen, and the northern end of Douglas Prom and Fenella Beach in Peel. For Tuesday, Jemert, early rain will clear. That's going to be dry with sunny spells of fresh to strong west-southwesterly, up to 11 Celsius tomorrow. The overnight minimum into Wednesday is 5. Jacrane, sunny intervals, intermittent showers on the strong southwesterly and 8 degrees. Low water is right this very minute, 27 minutes to 6. Sunset, 12 minutes past 6. High water, 28 minutes past 11 tonight. Low water's at 10 to 6 tomorrow morning. And sunrise, 16 minutes to 7 o'clock.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. manxglass.com.
5 questions labelled urgent have been added to the House of Keys agenda for tomorrow. They're all connected in some way to the demise of the Manx carrier, Flybe. 3 questions come from the Onchan MHK, Rob Collister. He claims Jersey has stolen a march on the Manx.
I think when you do a quick Google search, it clearly shows that Loganair stepped in and filled some of those routes across the UK, including 2 towards the Channel Isles in Jersey. So the question is, what discussions has the Isle of Man had since January this year with Loganair, with other airlines? If you take the Manchester route, we know it's profitable. So an airline could step in very quickly. Basically, we need another airline to step in very quickly because we're not just for visitors, but also for locals getting on and off the island. We need the Manchester route absolutely back online.
Do we have the ability to step in quickly, though? I mean, obviously, everything has to go to Tynwald, etc., if we pass major bits of cash having to be spent. But can we act quickly in situations like this?
We'll find out this week, because I don't see a problem why another airline can't step in quickly, especially if it's a profitable airline. But that does open up the wider discussion around Open Skies policy. And I'm hoping later on this week, the Environment and Infrastructure Policy Review Committee will be taking evidence from the DOI Minister, Ray Harmer, and the CEO. So we'll be able to put this question to the Minister directly and discuss the Open Skies policy, if it's good for the islands or not good for the islands.
Do you know if Logan and I have been approached? Excuse us, what about us over here?
Well, these are the conversations that I need to have with the Minister. I need the Minister to tell us, you know, what conversations have been going on since January, because the public, at the moment, they're limited to EasyJet. People are being charged absolutely ridiculous amounts of money if they can secure a flight over the next 7 days.
It would seem to presume that Logan Air haven't jumped upon us. It's because we're not making enough money over here for them.
I don't know. These are questions that the DOI minister needs to actually answer. I'm hoping we can explore it a little in more detail, should we say, at our committee session. But tomorrow in the Keys, what I need the DOI minister to say is what's going on at the moment, what discussions have been taking place.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
24 minutes to six. You know it's getting serious when the Eurovision Song Contest is in danger. The contest is in Rotterdam in May, and the coronavirus COVID-19 continues to grip the globe. The Danish selection's been held in an arena without an audience, and delegates from Greece, Israel and Sweden won't attend the planning meeting in Rotterdam, although the officials in Rotterdam say there are no travel restrictions to or from the Netherlands that would stop it going ahead. Downing Street insists the UK is still in the contain phase of the plan to combat coronavirus, but admits the illness will spread in a significant way. There are 319 cases across the UK, jumped by 46 since yesterday, the highest daily increase across the water. That includes five positive tests for COVID-19 in Scotland and two more in Wales. Dr. Simon Clark, a microbiologist from the University of Reading, speaks to Sky News' Sarah Hewson.
I think it's entirely to be expected at this point, and sadly we will see more. And as we go forward in the coming days, we'll see even bigger increases, I think.
And that is because we are progressing through the stages of this virus, and presumably looking at what's happened in Italy as an example of what might be happening.
I think Italy is probably quite a good model for us to look at. It's a similar society, similar economy, similar healthcare provisions. It's spread there quite rapidly over the past couple of weeks. We know, we think that in such societies, each infected person will go on to infect, on average, 2.3 other people. So, yeah, the numbers are going to snowball, for want of a better word.
And the government now saying that we're still in the contain phase, but looking at what measures might be taken in terms of social distancing measures to try and continue to contain this virus and then to delay its peak until later into the warmer months. But when you look at what happened in Italy, we now have a quarter of the Italian population on lockdown, but there were already lockdown measures in place for a couple of weeks, and they don't seem to have worked particularly effectively, do they?
Well, we'll never know. The situation might have been much worse had they not locked things down. So it was never, I think, designed to stop it completely. They'd like it to, but that's unrealistic. So really, we will never know. We will never know what it would have been otherwise.
The World Health Organization has praised China for its response, but it was a very drastic and radical lockdown there. Not something that we can expect to happen in Europe, is it?
I think it is unlikely that you'll be able to get the same sort of response in a Western European country that you got in China. I just don't think that, A, the governments have the authority and the power to do it, and B, the population probably wouldn't stand for it either.
To comment on the update news agenda, call Manx Radio anytime on 682 631. Or email update@manxradio.com. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes to six, the news from the Ben. She left Heysham at 2:15 this afternoon, arriving very shortly in Douglas and spinning round, obviously, after discharging, departing Douglas at 7:45 this evening. Strong winds notwithstanding, arriving in Heysham at 11:30 tonight, the 02:15, returning to the Isle of Man. There's no shadow over the Ben McCree sailings over the next few days. Good news, the Fastcraft Mananan resumes her seasonal service. Not a minute too soon. 2 weeks on Friday, the 27th, she heads for Liverpool. First sailing of 2020 to Dublin is the day after, March 28th. And she heads for Belfast on April the 8th.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Investment markets around the world headed for the red in dramatic fashion, but it's not just down to COVID-19. The uncertain price of a barrel of crude oil added impetus to the slide. As consultant Stuart Cowan and first senior investment manager at Ramsay Crookall, Dean Whitty, told John Moss.
Well, today we've seen the fourth largest fall on record, with the last big falls such of this kind since 2008.
I can go back to certainly 1987 and before that, actually 1974. So these are unusual events. And I think the principal thing that I've drawn from it over a long career is that you do see recoveries. This is, Dean will confirm this, this is a reflection of both the issues around the COVID-19 virus and now the sharp fall in the oil price.
So we've seen oil prices fall 30% overnight following a breakdown in talks between Saudi Arabia and Russia.
There's no real recovery in sight at the moment. This is a developing thing. That's the problem, isn't it?
Exactly. We don't know kind of the depth or duration of the infection. We don't know what effect it's going to have on global markets.
These things recover, don't they?
They tend to over time. It all depends on your time horizon. If you are investing for the longer term, then you can go through market cycles such as this, and you'll still come out the other side making money. If you're investing for the short term, that's where problems can arise.
And of course, the government invests as well. This government invests, but they say they're in it for the long term, so presumably they can afford to sit and wait.
If they're in for the long term, and as Dean says, if individual investors or corporate investors are in for the long term, then you have to accept from time to time there will be situations such as this where markets will experience sharp falls, sometimes irrationally driven. But we have two real significant events occurring at the moment, and it is affecting confidence.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
Well, on the back of that collapse of the barrel of Brent crude, motorists in the UK have been told to expect tumbling fuel prices at British forecourts. The cost of a barrel of Brent crude fell to its lowest level since 2016. The RAC predicts we could see 10p, or they could in the UK see 10p, coming off the price of a litre of unleaded on the Isle of Man. We'll wait to see, shall we? A stockbroking and investment company has been recognised for the quality of its service at the City of London Wealth Management Awards. Ramsay Crookall won the Regional Wealth Manager of the Year for Northern England Award in London earlier this month. The accolade celebrates the help businesses and individuals from wealth management companies provide.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
Global equity markets closed lower as investors grapple with the falling price of oil and the spread of coronavirus. The safe haven yen and Swiss franc surged as risk appetite reduced following a sharp decline in oil prices. Oil prices fell to multi-year lows as tensions between Russia and Saudi Arabia escalate, sparking fears that an all-out price war is imminent. Gold retreated as investors sold the bullion to cover margin calls amid falling equities and energy markets. In corporate news, BP and Royal Dutch Shell fell on the back of the oil price slump as Saudi Arabia slashed its export prices and said it'll ramp up production from next month after Russia refused to join the OPEC plan to cut supplies. Tesco was boosted by news that it was selling its Thailand and Malaysia businesses to the Thai conglomerate CP Group. And the news from the markets at the close in London. The FTSE 100 was down 7.5% at 5,965. The DAX in Frankfurt down 7.5% at 10,685 just after 5 o'clock in New York. The Dow Jones was down 6.5% at 24,198. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 4.5% at 8,166. And in Chicago, even the reliable S&P 500 down 6% at 2,791. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 31.1 cents and €1 14.4 cents. In commodities, gold down 0.5% at $1,667 an ounce, and Brent crude oil down 21% at $35.99. $0.92 a barrel.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening. Thanks for tuning into Manx Radio. It's a quarter to six. I'm Andy Wint, and the demise of Flybe has, of course, made life a good deal more complicated for many people who can do without the extra complications, namely those who, for health reasons, have to travel across. The Manx government's offering qualified help with flights and accommodation. Is it enough? Asks John Moss.
And importantly, at the right price. With the hard landing of Flybe, Manx patients who've had their flights with the airline booked and accommodation booked in, say, Liverpool, are having to go elsewhere. The government has offered the following. They say financial assistance may be provided towards the cost of any accommodation required as part of a visit to the UK. If you're staying in an area of the UK outside London, they could contribute up to £50 per person per night towards the cost of your accommodation within London, up to £74. They say you'll need to book your accommodation and submit a claim together with receipts when you return home. They also note that they cannot pay towards the cost of food, toiletries or other purchases that you may make. There's been a lot of traffic on social media saying £50 for accommodation in Liverpool, really? Well, theoretically, there is cheap accommodation available if you reach for the internet, though not all patients particularly have access or ability to use the internet, remember. Advice, of course, is currently and indeed always obtainable from the transfer service of the NHS. So, cheap hotel rooms. Now, the image on the net compared to real life, I cannot say, but browsing through the offers, after I'd asked for an immediate room tonight, there were offers of £39 at the Aachen Hotel, advertised as being in Liverpool city centre. £22 for a night at the spacious double room in Anfield. £33 at the Easy Hotel, Liverpool, which is billed as being in the city centre. Now, these may be offers that disappear as soon as you apply for them, and alternative, rather more expensive offers are floated your way. I don't know. Prices can rise when there's a good reason to be in the area, as with a top football match. Many Manx patients will be wanting to get to Walton or Clatterbridge. Currently, Comcab is the contracted taxi service by the Manx National Health Service. Whatever the case, a smooth flight across, followed by easy transfer and acceptable accommodation, makes illness, quite often serious illness or injury, less scary.
Manx Radio Sport.
Astamai, Dolan Mercer.
Astamai. Sporting club Isle of Man has announced it's launching men's and women's cycling teams with the intention of competing in UK and international racing events from next year. In a statement, the newly created organisation said cycling is a sport the island has been competing in at world levels for a number of years, pointing to the success and legacy of figures like Mark Cavendish and Peter Kenyuk. Andrew Roche and Gianni Epifani are working with the support of the Isle of Man Cycling Association to put the teams together from the existing pool of local talent that the island possesses. And Isle of Man Sport Aid has announced its list of scholarships for the upcoming season, with 49 athletes from more than a dozen sports set to benefit. The 2020-21 scholarship programme provides a combination of financial support towards their individual sporting needs, plus access to services and workshops at the Isle of Man Sport Institute. The athletes will receive certificates during the Isle of Man Sports Awards at the Villa Marina on the 2nd of April. To be eligible, the recipients must be nominated by their sports governing body and then go through a rigorous selection process. For a full list of athletes who will receive Isle of Man Sport Aid funding next season, head to manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
The news is the London City inbound, 25 past four, landed at 3 minutes past five. Consequently, the 5 past 5 London City is going to be late. The flight's just closed at 10 to six, it is now. The quarter to 5 o'clock to Bristol left on time. Later departures for Dublin, that's not left yet. It was due out at 5:35. The 5-6 Edinburgh flight will be leaving at about 7:05 tonight, they say. Later departures for Gatwick for EasyJet, looking to be on time. The Matrix signs showing please use headlights on the mountain. There's fog on the mountain. The signs from Bagarrow, Sulby, Ramsey to the mountain showing to use your headlights. On the roads, 24-hour signals for railway works at Liverpool Arms, around the Liverpool Arms. The A5 between the Forge and Santa Motel in Newtown, 24-hour signals for footway resurfacing. The Cornay Road in Clonmona is closed from the Ford near Barony Lodge and Port Cornay car park for highway resurfacing. Three-way 24-hour signals at King Edward Road in Groudall for ongoing railway works as well. Still a big hole at the Curragh Road, the Foxdale Road in St John's, closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site. Supposed to be finished at the end of April. At Lord Street, Douglas will be finished. The one-way traffic scheme and closure of surrounding roads and paths finishes the week before TT is due to start. And if you want to find out more about Douglas Promenade, it's got its own website, mypromenade.im, or just drive up and down. You'll be hours.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Ansel Solutions, 670-145.
This week, a year ago, the Isle of Man opened its blockchain office, run by the Department for Enterprise's Digital Isle of Man Agency. The office was designed to help companies working with the currency. But what is it? And how does it work? All this week, Update demystifies blockchain. Senior counsel at Man Benham Advocates, Paul Beckett, starts us off.
The nicest picture in my head that I found of how to explain blockchain goes back hundreds of years to the First Nations of the United States. We used to call them the Indians. And they used to have something called wampum, which was a strip of leather on which were attached beads, coloured beads. And in the old cowboy movies, everybody thought that was money. Wampum was money. But it wasn't. It was in fact code. So a line, the first line would be the coloured beads for two horses. The second line would be the coloured beads for, you can have these for 5 bags of corn. The third line would be, and Fred can have them. And that would be it. And then the next time the horses are sold, you have the same piece of wampum. And now it's the fourth line's the same as the first, two horses. The fifth line's gone up to 6 bags of corn, and the sixth line is, and now it's Joe. Joe knows that he owns those horses because he looks back up the 6 lines of beads and he can see who had them first because he can read the code, the coloured beads across all the different Indian nations. They agreed that's what those beads mean because they all spoke different Indian languages. And that's all the blockchain is. It's line after line that's never deleted. Imagine it's still sewn onto that piece of leather. So you can look back up the lines of beads and you know what the provenance is and what it means.
Manx Radio's Update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
And part two of blockchain is tomorrow night on Update. A large commitment with a relatively small reward. That's how an MHK describes the service to the Isle of Man Post Office wanting to operate Ballasalla Post Office. Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Jason Morehouse is seeking an update on the board's search for someone to run the proposed adapted service. He explained more to Sean Cowper.
There seems to be quite a lot of concern in terms of, will it actually meet our needs? Will we be able to use the device when it comes along? And now we've kind of got this possible realisation, will it come along? It's the next stage in the post office strategy, but it's dependent on the private operator coming on and saying, yeah, we're happy to do this. And I thought at this point, while the process is being carried out, it would be worth stopping off and saying, are people coming forward? Is the actual package you're offering suitable and attractive enough?
Now, this recruitment process, I think, was extended a few weeks ago. Is there some suggestion, perhaps, that actually there hasn't been much interest in operating this?
In terms of speaking to people on the ground, there was initially quite a lot of interest and there was a possibility that at least one establishment would go forward and consider it. But speaking to them now, the offer that's on the table doesn't seem to be matching their specification, their hopes that they were looking for. So I'm just going to ask the chair, of the pursuits whether potentially this could be reassessed, or she may come back and say that she's got lots of applications and she's quite happy with what's going ahead. So it will be quite an interesting answer on Tuesday.
So having spoken to someone who had been interested, do they need there to be more services for this to be commercially viable?
I think in terms of the offering, it's a large commitment with a relatively small reward, and it's getting the balance right. The post office have come at it from the commercial angle again, and it's looking at the individual private operators and ensuring they get the benefits that make it a suitable attraction for them to carry out.
Do you think there's been enough urgency in the approach to this topic?
It's one of the things that does seem to be moving very fast. There have been changes. We've got the 9th of April coming up relatively soon. That's the day before Good Friday when the post office in its current form will close down. So there needs to be action, and we need to have clarity that something will come along that meets local needs.
If you want more information on the stories we didn't get tonight, the Chief Minister's travels in the north of Ireland, and also the Manx Friends of the Earth and their version of the banning of off-road bikes around Snuff the Wind just below South Barule, go to manxradio.com. All the stories are at manxradio.com. And remember, this show is available as a podcast. That's it for Agenda and Update tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Lewis Foster, producer Sarah Hendy. I'm Andy Wint, and Update is back tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening at 5:30. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
WINT.